All right, let's have... Test one, check.
It is?
All right, let's have all the choir come up and get up the choir so we get ready to start service for 3 minutes.
choir for that. Welcome to Anchor Baptist Church. We've got a lot of visitors among us this morning. It's our sixth anniversary. We're celebrating our sixth anniversary of Anchor Baptist Church. I think about the second anniversary of being in this building. So welcome to this special day. Let's take our hymnals. They're right in front of you in the chair. 457, To God Be the Glory. 457. Everybody take a hymnal and stand and join us as we sing. Everybody standing. Let's sing out now.
To God be the glory, great things He has done. So lovely the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord.
Says great things. He has taught us great things. He hath what?
Done.
So let's sing that. We get to the chorus. If you don't need your books, put it down and really sing out together on the last.
Great things He hath taught us. Great things He hath done. And great are rejoicing through Jesus the Son.
Brother Tim, let's do a verse or two of our anchor song. It's Anchor Sunday. It's our sixth anniversary. What page is it? 461. It's a song that we sort of adopted as our church song. It's about the anchor. So I want you to sing. Let's sing the first and last verse. Brother Tim will lead us. You sing it out while we sing together. All right?
Will your anchor hold in the storms of life? When the clouds unfold their wings of strife, when the strong tides lift and the cables strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain? We have an anchor that keeps our soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fast to the rock which cannot fail, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. When our eyes behold through the gathering night the city of gold, our harbor bright, we shall anchor fast by the heavenly shore, with the stars of high forevermore. We have an anchor that keeps our soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll.
us remain standing for prayer. Thank you again for being here this morning. Good crowd. A lot of visitors today. Brother Rodney, good to have your family here. We love Brother Rodney King, as he was coming here on Wednesday nights for a long time. He works here at Blue Cross, but lives in Alabama, right? And he was commuting back and forth. This is your wife. Introduce your family to us. All right, so Miss King and Mrs. King and Miss King, we're glad to. I've got. We so love your husband. He has been such a joy around here. I've tell you, so good to meet the family, the brains behind the man. Amen. That's right. That's right. 39 years and 2 weeks. All right. Okay. He's got it nailed down pretty good. We're so glad to have y'all. And that good. Amen. Good to have you. And then Miss Young and Miss Cummings, and then. This lady here, tell us your name, ma'am. Or Nashville, Tennessee. Miss Pitts, we're glad to have you. Thank you for coming. Good to see you. And then good to have Aaron Elliott, I think that's right, and Allie Carter, a young couple that's, their, I guess, friends. I'm not sure, just they kind of, they live in the area. So we're glad to have you all, though. Appreciate so much this young couple being here with us today. And I'm looking around. Everybody else is kind of like home folks, I think. Miss Wilson, good to have Miss Wilson here. Miss Wilson lives right behind us over here, and her and her children came to Bible school, and we had our big thing outdoors, and she's got a little Down syndrome boy that walked around and hugged everybody, loved everybody. What a wonderful little feller he was. What's his name again? Christopher. And, buddy, he didn't meet a stranger, I'll tell you. And so we're glad to have Miss Wilson here with us today, too. God bless you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll ask the blessing, and then you can be seated, and then, of course, the choir will sing another number. All right? All right. Brother Melvin Wright, you lead us in prayer, please.
Jesus Christ.
probably our favorite.
Woo! Go ahead.
If that's true in your life, say amen. All right, well, we've met some of our visitors this morning. Let's stand. We're going to greet each other while the choir comes down. Great job, right. Choir.
Greet our visitors this morning. Tell you're glad to have them in the service today. Give it, Brother Tim. Thank you so much, choir, for the good singing this morning. Thank you. If you'll find your seat, we'll continue on with the service. Good spirit here this morning already. Praise God. I'm glad I'm like David said, I was young and now I'm old. And I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Praise God. Brother Steve was talking in Sunday school about the talents and how that God always blessed double the reward. And one thing I thought about is that when God, you know, when God blesses the reward, He blesses the person who's getting it. Now you think about that for a minute. When God does something, you know, whenever He healed someone, He didn't just heal their sickness, He also dealt with their physical needs. But from that moment on, He started dealing with their temporal needs, I guess, for lack of a better term, feeding and clothing and all. You know, that's the God we serve. Amen. What a mighty God we serve, as the song says. And so we're so glad to have all of you here today. As you can tell, we're just an old-fashioned, traditional Baptist church. We love to sing out the hymn book, and we like to sing good God-honoring songs. And did you notice? We were that close to Tim shouting. That close. He said, woo. Almost thou persuadest me to shout. Amen. Oh no. I'm glad when God touches the choir, and it starts with the choir leader, and I'm glad we've got a good godly man like that. Thank you for being here again today. I'll just mention a couple things quickly. As you know, this is our 6th anniversary. We started August the 5th. Now actually, last Sunday was our actual anniversary, but we had so many families out, school getting ready to start, so we had a lot of folks traveling. And so we decided to wait until today. But Brother Shelton and Brenda are in Paris, France. I think they're 8 hours ahead of us. So it's already Sunday night, I guess, there or thereabouts. And we found them a church in Paris, but it was all in French. I mean, what are you going to do? You know, when in Rome, you know. But anyway, so I haven't heard from them, of course. And so I don't know, you know, they said, well, we're just going to go and see what happens, you know. And you know what? Wouldn't it be, the Bible said in Acts that the crowd at Pentecost heard in their own language. It wasn't just that the disciples spoke another language that they'd not learned, but the Bible said they heard in their own language. So not only did they hear it, but they heard it correctly, because 3,000 people got saved that day. I'd say that's pretty good. And so who knows? Maybe, I don't know, I asked Shelton, do they have the little translator thing in their phone? But you know, they might be like around here. Don't have your phone on in church, you know. So anyway, you pray for them. They'll be gone till next Friday. They'll come back next Friday, so we're missing them. But other than that, I think everybody else is here. And so just real quickly, don't forget about the service tonight. We've got a little video we want to show in just a little while. Just a little pictorial history of our church over the last 6 years. And we'll do that after we take the offering. But let's see some folks to remember in prayer. Real quickly, Brother Sonny Branham, he's doing good physically. Now, you know he's got the frontal lobe dementia, and so that's starting to sort of take control maybe a little more. You pray for Sister Judy. And then Shirley Hughes is battling cancer. Continue to remember her. Johnny Gardner just had surgery. He's recovering. And I never did get her last name, your cousin. Rosario. And that's Pat's cousin who has had some illness and some health issues, so we certainly want to be praying for them also. Okay, don't forget the service tonight. Now, after the service tonight, we'll have a little fellowship time. If you come, we want you to come. The ladies have already met. Oh, he's got it. I'm sorry. Okay, I'm stepping on his toes over here. I didn't mean to do it. Sorry, Brian. He's the announcement man, but I didn't see him back. I thought he left. So anyway, I'll let him take care of that. Don't forget the service tonight, because I'm already on it. I'll have to go ahead and take care of that. 5:30 is our service time tonight. Are we having choir tonight? We're having choir tonight? No, of course. No. We have choir at 4:30. All right, let's be right here in your place. And then Brian will let you know about after the service with the fellowship and all of that. By the way, if you did not get a chance to view the missions board out there, it's up and going. Miss Susan, how many more? 10 to go. All right. So she's got about 38 of them up there. And then Brother Douglas put where he came out with a drone and he took pictures. You probably, if you didn't see it, it's a scroll that goes through there with our church name. And then he brought a drone out here and took pictures that flew all around the church. You ought to see that thing. I'm telling you, I don't know how much that, I know it costs a lot of money. It had a 4K camera on, so I know it costs a lot. But man, I'd love to have one of them things. That thing will go 7 miles up in the air. And so it's unbelievable. But anyway, if you'll look at the board, before you click on any of the missions or missionaries, you see where he put that on there. And so it's going to be a great ministry tool, and it's for adults and the children. So if you see a child touching that screen, don't fuss at them. They're supposed to. Now, if they're hammering on it, that's a different story, you know, or if they're, you know, throwing stuff at it. But if they're just touching to look at it, I saw several of the kids and the young people already kind of interacting with it, and that's why it's there. So you can interact with our missionaries. You can see all of their prayer cards are on there, almost all, just 10 more to go. Miss Susan's worked awful hard in the last 2 weeks to get that up there, and it'll do so many things that we're excited about that'll help you and I to get more interactive with our missionaries, be able to see the prayer letters, their cards, Just punt. All you got to do is touch the screen. It'll do so many things. So if you get a chance to see that before you leave, we'd love for you to take a look at that. Okay? Come on, Brian.
All right, I am here. I was over there, now I'm over here. The choir, Pastor already mentioned choir practice at 4:30 tonight. Service is at 5:30, and we will be having fellowship, as he said, after the service. And we would like to get a count of those who are coming, just so we know how to set up the rooms. So if you believe you're coming tonight and you want to stay for fellowship afterwards, just even everybody, everybody's welcome, of course. Even visitors, anybody that wants to come. Just go ahead and raise your hand if you can already say, I think I'm going to come. Woo, buddy, that's good. Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30. I got about 35, and that's a good ballpark number. All right, go ahead. 4:30. If you're not in the choir and you want to help set up back there, come on at 4:30 and help set up those tables. And we'll have a good time of fellowship celebrating our church's 6th anniversary this evening. Now, later on this week, we, of course, have our Wednesday evening service at 7 o'clock. You're all welcome to that, of course. We meet and just worship the Lord just like we do on Sundays. But sometimes you need something in the middle of the week. So we meet in the middle of the week, right in the middle, to get refreshed from the Lord on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Then this coming Saturday is the third Saturday of August, and that will be Sewing Saturday. So our men will be meeting here at 10 o'clock in the morning to go knocking on doors, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Last time we did more of targeted visits for people that have visited before. And actually, Pastor, two of the visitors me and Brother Jimmy visited are here today that we were at their house two Saturdays ago. So that works. How about that? So you men, come on if you're able at 10 o'clock, and we'll go out and get the gospel out to our community. And, of course, next Sunday is our back-to-school Sunday. All right, kids, right? All right. Back to school. Right. We want you to invite all the kids that are school age, your family, your friends, your neighbors. We'll be honoring those children that are going back to school, and also praying for them as they go into their next year of education. And we'll pray for the parents as well that they can get through that school year with their kids. So that'll be next Sunday morning. We'll be honoring those kids so on Back to School Sunday. So keep that in mind. Then coming up the 21st on a Tuesday, still a week and a half away about, will be the next Rusty Anchors meeting here at the church. So you Rusty Anchors, you know who you are. Keep that in mind. Tuesday the 21st. All right.
All right, well, before we sing our next song, let's do our birthdays for August. I don't think we've done that yet. So if you, members or visitors, if you have a birthday in August, why don't you stand so we can recognize you and sing happy birthday. I know my Brittany there had one the other day. All right, so anybody else? We got a couple visitors standing. Let's sing happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. And then we have, I know Brother and Ms. King, any other anniversaries in August? It'd be in August, right? Okay, why don't you all stand? We're going to recognize you. Anybody else? Any other anniversaries? Who's, I see. Oh, Ed, stand. I don't see. Oh, yeah. There's Inez. I thought she ran away. Okay, here we go. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary. God bless you. Happy anniversary to you. And number 365 in your hymnals. 365. Let's stand and sing How Great Thou Art. 365 will sing the first and last stanzas. Sing out now.
Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the world my hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder.
speaks of the second coming. When we get to the chorus, we'll ask the instruments to drop out. Let's sing. If you can sing parts, sing a cappella together. On the last,
when Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim my God.
Then sings my soul,
have the ushers come on ahead. I'm going to take the offering this morning. Now, this is Stewardship Month here at Anchor Baptist Church. And, of course, this being anniversary Sunday, we're going to get off the track of our messages and things in that direction for today. But it's still Stewardship Month, and we're asking all of our folks especially to be good stewards and to be obedient stewards and give that which God has commanded. Not asking you to do any more, just asking you to do what the Lord commanded us to do in the Word of God. And so I hope you'll do that. But anything you give will be appreciated, as you know. And then as soon as we do this, when we're done, then we'll have the little video, about 10-minute video of some of the photographs and some of the history of our church since we started. And I hope that'll be a blessing to you before the special music. All right? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. And what a joy it is to be in the house of the Lord on this beautiful Lord's Day. Now, Lord, here we are 6 years in. And God, you've blessed us since we started August the 5th of 2012. And God, since then, you've been good to us. Lord, we've had ups and downs, highs and lows, and we're thankful for all of them. Everything we've been through as a church family gives us character, trains us and teaches us how to trust God in every circumstance. Lord, we're thankful for the souls that have been saved and lives that have been changed. Lord, we're thankful for all the folks that were here from the beginning. Some are in heaven now. Lord, some of the very people that helped start this church have gone on to heaven. And we're grateful that one day we'll get to see them again. But let them know, Lord, when they come around you, that Anchor Baptist Church is still going strong. And Father, we're grateful for those folks that have come through, Lord, and moved on to other places even. Lord, we're grateful for their time with us. But now, Lord, we're just thankful for this wonderful group of folks that we have right here now. God, seemed like you've just touched us in an unusual way, and we're so grateful for that. And now, Lord, as we come to the opportunity to give a portion of that which you've blessed us with, Lord, help us as we've been trying to teach and preach this month to be good stewards, not just taking care of what God's given, but being sure to give what God has commanded. And so help us, Lord, to do that today and to be obedient and cheerful in our giving. Thank you so much, God, for the visitors taking time out of their morning to come and be with us here today at Anchor Baptist Church. Bless the offering now, the gift and the giver. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. lights, please, and is that the screen? Okay. Well, it's already going. There you go.
All right. If any of you have any ideas about an excuse to have a fellowship to eat, let us know. We're taking the reasons. All right. Well, right before Pastor comes this morning, the blessed trio is coming to sing for us.
We're called to walk by faith. There'll always be the mountains and valleys in our way. But right here in this moment, may our strength be renewed as we recall what God has done and how we've seen Him move. If there's anybody here who's found Him faithful, anybody here who knows He's able, say amen. If there's anybody here who's seen His power, anybody here brought through the fire, say amen. Anybody here found joy in the midst of sorrow, peace in the storm and hope for tomorrow?
And you've seen it time and time again.
Just say amen.
Sometimes through the darkness, it gets hard to see, but be bold and courageous and follow where He leads. Greater is the One who's in us than he who's in the world. So child of God, remember
the battle is the Lord. If there's anybody here who's found Him faithful, anybody here who knows He's able, say amen. If there's anybody here who's seen His power, anybody here brought through the fire, say amen. Anybody here found joy in the midst of sorrow, peace in the storm, hope for tomorrow?
And you've seen it time and time again.
Just say amen.
Just stand and testify of the greatness of God in our life.
If there's anybody here who's found Him faithful, anybody here who knows He's able, say amen. If there's anybody here who's seen His power, anybody here brought through the fire, say amen. Anybody here found joy in the midst of sorrow, peace in the storm, hope for tomorrow?
And you've seen it time and time again.
Just say amen. Just say amen.
Just say amen.
All right. And if you've seen God work in your life, say amen.
Amen.
We've got some pretty good preaching too, so get your Bibles ready and listen now as the pastor comes.
That's right, Tim. I'll give you $5 after the service is over.
Before I get into the message, Brother Rodney, stand up there just a minute. Give a little word of testimony. Listen, this fella right here is one of the best fellers I've ever met. And we met because he works with John over at Blue Cross. And I found out he started coming on Wednesday nights because he would drive home to Alabama on the weekends and then turn around and drive all the way back to Columbia to come back to work. I mean, I'm telling you, you talk about wearing out a car or two or three or five. Yeah. But in the process of all of that, we got to know Brother Rodney King, and what a blessing. And he added to the church. I mean, he always had something good to say. He's always encouraging. And so we're glad that he and his family are able to be here today. And so, Brother Rodney, just give a little word of testimony, if you don't mind, brother. Vote we had to kind of accept him in the church. And I forgot to tell him that, you know, your tithe is retroactive to that too, brother. So, I mean, you know. I mean, this is stewardship month, and he happened to show up today. So, you know, no. Just teasing with him. We love Brother Rodney, and so good to meet his wife and daughter. And he's got another son. And we're so glad that they're here with us today. Philippians chapter 1 this morning, the book of Philippians, chapter number 1. In the New Testament, page 1257, if you have a Scofield Bible. Philippians chapter 1. I want to preach this morning on this thought, the ties that bind. The ties that bind. We were in the prayer room at 9 o'clock this morning. By the way, every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock we meet to pray. Men, so I hope some of you will come and join us next Sunday. But in my prayer, I was asking God to bless the message. And in my prayer, I mentioned the title of the message. Well, John came to me afterwards. He said, "Preacher," because he likes to put the name of the title of the message on the website, on the audio portion. And so he said, "Now, let me get that straight, preacher. It's the tithe that binds." I said, "Well, Brother John, that's not what I said, but that works since it's stewardship month. But it's not the tithes that bind, it's the ties that bind." Philippians, of course, the great book of the Bible. Paul wrote this letter to the Philippian church, and this is actually a letter of thanks. He is thankful to the Philippian church for their giving and for their prayers and for their concern over Paul as a missionary, as a man of God. The book of Philippians, though, the theme of it is what I like to call, and I've taught through the book of Philippians before, and what I get from it is this: do not let your circumstances dictate your Christian life. Let your Christian life dictate your circumstances. So many people live for God depending upon what's going on around them. And so they miss out, and they don't do everything they can because of what's going on around them. And really what the book is teaching is that as Christians, we've already got the victory. Amen? We sing a song, "Victory in Jesus." We've got the victory. You know, we may lose a battle now and then, but we've already won the war. As a Christian, Jesus won the battle, won the war on Calvary when he said it's finished. I mean, a lot of things were finished when Jesus died on the cross. Well, here Paul is writing to this church at Philippi, and because they had been such a help to him, spiritually as well as financially. The epistle, as I said, is a thank you to a church and some certain people he names in the congregation who were special to him. The Bible said we're to give honor unto whom honor is due. And that's the reason why I wanted to recognize Brother Rodney. Listen, I could take the whole morning service to recognize folks here. I saw many pictures on there of men, ladies, who have already missed Ruby's pictures on there, and she's gone on to be with the Lord. And Brother Marvin McCullough, what a great fella. What a wonderful brother Marvin McCullough was, and he's gone on to heaven now. Brother Bill Chalmers, good thing his last name, he was instrumental in getting Joaquin to church. And in fact, he died. He passed away, and I met Joaquin at his funeral. And from that point, Joaquin got saved. And he's been a faithful part of this church now for all these years, and so many memories. And I'm glad that time can steal a lot from you, but really cannot steal your memories. And I'm thankful for good memories. And hey, we're not done making memories yet. We still got some time yet. Jesus hadn't come back yet. Now, he could come this afternoon, and our memories will cease. But if he does it, then we're going to make more memories. We want to do more for God and be more visible and vigilant in our work for Christ here at Anchor Baptist Church. So I want to look at three things real quickly this morning. Three characteristics of the Philippian church that I believe personally. Now, again, Brother Rodney said something about toot his own horn. Well, you know, they talk all the time about finding lost scripture. Well, there's no such thing. It's all in there. But if I could find one, it'd be this one. He that tooteth not his horn shall not be tooteth. And so when Brother Rodney said, I'm going to beat my horn a little, I said, oh, he found that scripture too. All right, well, that's all right then. But I believe, now you say, well, you're biased. Yeah, I am. And I love this place and I love everybody here. And I believe at this point in our ministry and in our church family, I believe that we share here at Anchor these very things that we find in the church at Philippi. Number one, first of all, let's read verse number one. In fact, stand with me if you would, if you're able. Let's read through a few verses of scripture, then we'll pray and give you the message this morning. Verse number one of Philippians chapter one, Paul and Timotheus, or Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making request with joy. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye are all partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense, till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for your word. Bless the message, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. I'll try not to keep you too much longer. We've had a lot going on this morning, but I'm glad that you're here. I want you to notice three characteristics of the church at Philippi that Paul recognized that I believe we have right here at Anchor Baptist Church. Number one, notice they shared salvation. They shared salvation. I didn't say they enjoyed it. I didn't say they received it. I said they shared salvation. You know what sharing is? It's giving something of yours to someone who doesn't have it. Well, I want you to know that at Anchor Baptist Church, I'm thankful that we know about salvation. Amen. We preach salvation. The Bible said that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's salvation. And we preach that here. We teach about it. We sing about it. Brother Rodney's been here and heard it. We even talk about it on Wednesday nights. Because it's important that the world understand that you cannot go to heaven apart from being saved. It's not about what you do. It's about what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. It's not about us. It's all about him. Notice in verse number one of the text, the Bible said, Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi. In other words, they're sharing the gospel message. In verse number six, the Bible said, being confident of this very thing, now notice that he which hath begun a good work in you, that is your salvation experience. The day you got saved, God began to work in your life. When you got saved, he that began a good work in you, and Brother Steve touched on this in Sunday school, it's not my salvation, it's God's salvation. He's the one that saved me. I didn't save me. You didn't save me. All God's chillin' didn't save me. Amen? God saved me. And so because of that, I honor him and I want to share. It was a blessing Wednesday night and then again this morning. McKenna, her and her mother, Stephanie, just been visiting just a couple of weeks now. And McKenna came to me Wednesday night with a big grin on her face. She's 10 years old. Had a big grin. She said, "Preacher," she said, "can I tell you something?" I said, "You sure can." She said, "Guess what I did today?" I said, "What'd you do, McKenna?" She said, "You know, when they're 10 years old, you don't know what they're going to say." Isn't that right, Miss Stephanie? Huh? That's right. Well, she said, "You know what?" Said, "I went to," and tell me, McKenna, where was it? Yeah. She gave out her first gospel tract at Kroger's the other day. And then they went to a, and then she came to me this morning with that same grin. So I knew what was coming. You know, you kind of learn those things. She said, "Guess what, Pastor? Guess what I did?" I said, "I went out to eat, I think, with Christy. Is that right? And their granddaughter. I guess it was because they were here the other day." And she said, "I gave out my second gospel tract." Amen. You say, "Preacher, what's the big deal?" The big deal is that at 10 years old, she's learning to share salvation. We don't give gospel tracts that have TV guides in them, and we don't worry about those the things of the world. We give out stuff that tells people how to get saved, because if you're not saved, you're going to die and go to hell. And I'm glad that we have a church that shares salvation, not only here, but if you see the mission board, we send those missionaries out. We're very particular about the missionaries that we support. We want to make sure that those men and women are not just going over there to do something philanthropic. We don't want them to go over there and do something that, you know, kind of helps the community. We want missionaries that are going to share salvation by grace through faith. And so I'm glad I pastor a church. And I believe Anchor is a church that shares salvation. You see, salvation is a common need of all men. The Bible said in the book of Romans, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." There's not a man, woman, boy, or girl in this building, on this property, in this town, in this state, in this nation, or in this world that does not need to be saved by the grace of God. They don't need to be salved. Huh? Come on now. You with me? You all shouted during the singing and everything and clapped. What's happened to you now? They don't need to be saved. They need to be saved. They don't need a potion. They need a portion. Amen? I'm telling you, they don't need a band-aid. They need a cure. And the cure is salvation by grace through faith. I'm telling you, Jesus can cure every disease. And I'm not talking about physical disease, although he can. I'm talking about that sinful disease called lostness. I'm talking about the disease that has captured every man, woman, boy, or girl from the time they were conceived. David said, "Behold, I was chafed in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Now, that does not mean that there's something sinful in the relationship. There's sin in every one of us because of what Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden. Romans chapter 5 verse 8 says, "Wherefore is by one man sin in the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." And so friend, apart from Jesus Christ, you can live as good a life as you can, and it will make absolutely no difference when you meet God at the judgment. And so I hope that we're continuing to share salvation because it's a common need of all men. And then salvation is come to all men. Nobody has to die without being saved. Titus chapter 2 and verse number 11, the Bible said, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared," ready, "unto all men." Now you say, "Well, preacher, then what's the purpose of sending out missionaries and preaching?" Because we want to enhance and encourage folks, that what they've heard is the truth. That Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and 3 days later, thank God, rose from the dead. And today he sits at the right hand of God, and he wants to save you today. So salvation is common to all men. It has come to all men. And then salvation is charged to be preached here at Anchor to all men.
Hey, if you come to Anchor Baptist Church, whether it's me or a Sunday school teacher or a visiting preacher or evangelist or anyone, a lay speaker like Brother Tim did the other Sunday, I'm telling you, somewhere you're going to hear about the saving grace of God. Because all the rest of it is a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal if we don't tell folks about the salvation of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm glad that I pastor and belong to. I don't just pastor here, I'm a member here. I know preachers that'll preach at churches and never be a member. I'm not a hireling. I'm a church member. You just happen to pay me. But I do this for free. I don't get no ideas. No, I'm telling you, God knows my heart. God knows my heart. I'm not joking. I do this for free. I surely would. If I had to go get a job or God, let God take care of me. I'm not worried about it. I never have been. I've been in this thing a long time. Judy and I, all the time we've been married, we're not worried about what God's going to do next, because He always does something next. That's right. And it all started when we got saved. Has God been good to you since you've been saved? Then it's time to share that salvation. Let me give you the second characteristic real quickly now. Not only is this a church that shares salvation, but Philippian church, like Anchor, is a church that shared a servant spirit. A servant spirit. You know what Webster says a servant is? That's one devoted to another to the disregard of their own interests. That's what a servant is. It's someone who looks, who doesn't just do it because of responsibility or duty, but looks to be helpful to someone else, irregardless of their own needs. Hey, that's what, you know, the Bible said Jesus did when He came. He came and He took upon Himself the form of a servant and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus did not deserve to die, but He did it for our interest. Aren't you glad for that today? I'm glad that He was a servant, and we are to be servants. In the Philippian church, their servant spirit was manifested in three ways. Quickly, number one, in their mutual care for one another. Verse 3 and 4, the Bible talks about how that they cared for Paul and cared for people. Hey, I'm glad I'm in a church that cares. And I, listen, every time I hear, Miss Rhonda, every time I hear somebody say something like, boy, that's a friendly bunch of folks. You know what that does? That helps me. That puts me on shouting ground. You know why? I don't want folks to come to church here and feel like they've been beat up. And they've been ignored, and they've been pushed aside. I want everybody to know when they get in here, we're all here for the same thing, and that's to worship God or get you to Jesus. Every time we meet, we come back at 5:30 tonight, guess what we're going to do? Just what we're doing right now. We're going to worship God and try to get folks to Jesus if they need to get there. That's right. And so there's the mutual care. Galatians chapter 6. Verse 2 talks about how we ought to love and care for one another. But then in verse 4, also there's the mutual prayer that they shared. I'm glad when I come to Anchor Baptist Church and say to someone, I want you to pray about something, and they say, I will, I know they're going to. Amen, Brother Rodney? That's right, Brother Rodney. We prayed for his precious wife, and I'm glad to see her up and going good. Man, the family looks good. I'm telling you, if you get a chance, take a picture over there. There's a thorn among the roses right there. Amen, Brother Rodney? I started to say rose among thorns, but I don't want to make them mad at me, so I better change that around. Amen, right. But hey, I'm telling you, prayer works. And the mutual prayer, hey, we've been together 6 years. We've seen a lot of highs and a lot of lows. We've seen folks come and go, but listen, I'm telling you, there's one thing that will always work at Anchor Baptist Church, and that's for us to bend a knee and bow our heads and say, God, I want to talk to you a little while, and spend some time in prayer, and pray for one another. God knows my heart. When we were building this church, the one thing that I've really focused on, and you may not think it much, but when we got ready to do the inside, I told them how to build this platform. You say, why? So everybody could see you? No, because I wanted an altar. I wanted a place where people could kneel down. Remember at the other place while we were meeting, we didn't have an altar. Folks would have to stand and pray. I want to be able to come and get on their knees before an almighty God, before the throne of God. And I told Brother Jerry when he was building, I said, make plenty of room for folks to get at the altar and pray. Because I think prayer is important. I really do. So they had a mutual care for one another. They had mutual prayer for one another. And then, as a servant, they had a mutual love for one another. Verse number 7, the Bible said, even as it is meet or meant for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense of the confirmation of the gospel, ye are all partakers of my grace. Boy, they loved Paul. They wanted to hear from Paul. You know why we have that mission board out there, Sister Susan? It's so folks can read about the needs and the wants and the thrills and the joys and the sorrows of folks that are serving God who gave up everything here. I mean, gave up their homes, their families, the comfort of living in America to go to foreign fields where they're having to struggle at just to survive, but they're giving the gospel out. And we at Anchor, we want to care for them. We want to pray for them. And we want to love them. But you know what? We've got the same need right here in Columbia, South Carolina. Oh, we may still be in America, but I'm telling you, our greatest mission field is right around us here. And we've got to love folks. I didn't say not tell them the truth. You know, what we have lost in America today is the idea that love and truth go together. Most people now think that to love somebody, you've got to fool them. You've got to tell them what they want to hear. You've got to trick them. You've got to lie to them to show them you love them. Not so. Hey, I want to love people with the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 18 says this, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. You know how we're going to love Columbia, South Carolina? Tell them the truth. Brother Ron, you're right. Sometimes you tell the truth, it'll clear the room. It will. Man, listen, you get to talking to folks and you're having a good time. You get out here and you're talking to somebody and everything's going good, and then you start talking about Jesus. Uh-oh. Boy, the conversation just ended. Go knock on a door, talk to them about their dog, talk about their kids, talk about their hairdo. Boy, they want to talk to you all more. And then you say, can I ask you a question? Do you know you're going to heaven when you die? Oh, I got to go. I'm telling you. Hey, because they don't want the truth. They've been lied to so long. But hey, somebody's going to tell the truth. And that's what we're here to do. Amen? Through our singing, through our preaching, through our teaching, through our ministries, everything we do here, when we come on the property, we want people to know that there's more to this place than just a church with lights and a steeple. We want them to know that they can find love at Anchor Baptist Church. Let me give you the last thing and I'm done. Yeah. Look at verse number 10. Not only did, as a church, and I believe Anchor has the same characteristics, and there's a bunch more, but I'm not getting to you. They shared a salvation. They shared a servant spirit. And in verse number 10, they shared sincerity. Sincerity. The first time I told Judy I loved her, I meant it. And I still mean it. Brother Rodney, I'm sure the first time you told Miss King you loved her, you were serious about it, weren't you? You better have been. Yeah, you better shake your head yes, amen. You better shout right there. I'm telling you, it's one thing when they're not here. It's another thing when they're sitting right next to you. You haven't changed your mind, have you? That's right, not in 33 years and 2 weeks. Is that right, 33? I'm sorry, 39 and 2 weeks. Praise God. I'm telling you, we as a church, I'm glad, I believe we have a spirit of sincerity. I believe people here really want God to do something. And not only that, I believe they want to do something for God. Now, whatever it is you do and whatever your talent is or your ability is, why, you and God have to figure that out. And when you do, then go with it. Run with it. But one thing all of God's people can be is sincere. If you tell somebody you want to go to heaven, be sincere about that. I hope that's not just words. I hope you're serious about that thing. Now, when I get up here and preach, this is an awesome responsibility. By the way, I've got to answer to God for every word I've said since I was 19 years old preaching the gospel. I'm going to have to stand before God and answer for. But guess what? You know what the Bible said in Romans? Every one of us shall give an account of himself before God. So you're going to have some answering to do too. So you better make sure when you tell somebody you love them that you mean that. When you tell somebody you're praying for them, you better mean that. When you tell someone that you want them to go to heaven, you better mean that. Because you're going to have to answer to God for it somewhere down the line. Notice verse 10, and I'm through. That ye may approve things that are excellent. We have an excellent gospel. We have an excellent God. And so we ought to be willing to share the excellent things. He said, approve those things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Jesus Christ. Sincere. Man, we lack sincerity in America today. You know, my phone will ring, and I say hello, and it'll say, and it's a robocall that says, please don't hang up. We care about you. And then you listen to them, and really, all they care about is making a dollar. They don't care about me. But it's funny when it says, please don't hang up. We care. What a lie. But you know what? Hey, if we're not careful, we might look at somebody the same way and say, hey, we care. You better be telling the truth. You know, the Bible says, too, that God is writing down every idle word. We have to give an account for every idle word. If you didn't mean it, God wrote it down anyway. And He's going to ask you, why did you say that? Why did you tell that person you loved them when you couldn't have cared less about them? Why did you tell them that you wanted them to go to heaven when really all you wanted was them to come to your Sunday school class? I'm not fussing at none of the teachers now. I'm telling you, I've been in this thing a while. I've seen this happen. Yeah. Don't tell somebody, hey, preacher, pastor, don't tell somebody you love them so you can get their money on Sunday. Amen. Now we're all in the same ship. Say amen right there. I'm just saying, you better mean what you say and only say what you mean. They shared sincerity. They were sincere in their worship. Boy, I'm glad to be in an old-fashioned church that knows how to worship. Amen? Yeah. Man, somebody in the choir get to shouting, and man, you look out in the audience and people get bug-eyed. I thought there's a Baptist church, more like a Pentecostal church. No. See, the problem is we've given them all the fun. Nothing wrong with shouting. It's not a thing. Nothing wrong with weeping. Boy, boy, look at those people up there in that church crying and carrying on. Boy, what a wimpy church. No, that's a church that has a heart that God can use. I'd rather be in a weepy church than an old hard-hearted church where folks won't even hardly look your way, won't say hello, won't shake your hand, won't hardly come to church. You got to beg them. All right, Brother Rodney, we're fixing to clear the room now. Done got past all that love stuff. Now I'm going to get to the real stuff. They were sincere in their worship. They were sincere in their witness. That's why when these young folks talk about doing something for God, I want to brag on them from the pulpit. When McKenna gives out tracts, hey, we ought to recognize that. When old Dante got up here and sang Wednesday night, what a good job he did. Man, just honor God with that song. Hey, we want to brag on young folks. We want to brag on you if you've done something for God. Let us know. Because we're sincere in our witness. And then we're sincere in our walk. Just remember this. You can talk it all you want to. Walking is another story altogether. You know what? The Bible said that people that use words with no sincerity are like waves without force. They're like a storm without wind. Make a lot of noise, but don't do much. I don't want to be that way, do you? I want to make sure that when I walk out of here, that what you heard me saying here, you will see out there. That you'll hear out there. That you'll know that we're sincere about this thing. We did not build this place just so we could have a club. This is not Anchor Baptist Club. This is Anchor Baptist Church. because we want to worship God. We want to honor the Lord. We want to be sincere. We want to share salvation. Amen? We've got to. We want to share a servant's spirit. We want to do for others, irregardless of what it means to us. You know what God hates? People who try to serve God because they're looking for a reward. Now, I didn't say you wouldn't get one. God's so good about that. But if you're doing it for that reason, then you have your reward. But I want to serve God. Hey, if God never did another thing for me, I'm not going to hell. Do you hear me? I'm not going to burn in hell for all eternity. If He doesn't do anything else for me, that's good enough. But I happen to know He'll do more than that. He said, He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it. That means He's going to take care of the rest until the day of Jesus Christ. When Jesus comes, then we're going to lay this old burden down. Hallelujah. This old body will be left behind. This old life will be left behind. Man, we'll get a brand new body. We'll be in a new heaven. There'll be a new earth. I'm dealing with it's all going to be new. And best of all, Jesus will be at the center of the whole thing. And finally, we'll get to see Him face to face. And we'll be able to say, Jesus, I love You. And He'll say, I know You do. And that's the most important thing of all. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we sure love You today.
It's been a wonderful service. The choir did such a good job. The Sunday school hour. I so enjoyed Brother Steve's Sunday school lesson. And then we prayed and asked God to touch the choir and the choir leader. And I believe You did, Lord. I believe You answered that prayer. Not only did the choir do a good job, Brother Tim got a little touch from heaven. Thank God. The musicians played with all of their hearts. And then, Lord, the special was wonderful. The trio sang for the glory of God. And then, Lord, the Word of God. Father, I pray, I beg that what I said today was of God. Lord, I so want to be of God. It's an anniversary. We saw the pictures, the little video. Lord, I'm thankful as I watched those videos from the first day. God, seemed like You always had Your hand upon Anchor Baptist Church. It's true. We're not a perfect church, but there is no such thing. And there are things that we could have done better. There are things that we could have done more in line with God's Word. But Lord, I'm thankful that we're here 6 years later as we watched those baptisms. And of course, baptism doesn't take you to heaven. But God, You know here at Anchor, we don't baptize folks unless we're solid that they've been saved and born again. And so to watch those pictures of people being baptized. So Lord, I'm thankful that we share salvation. I'm thankful that we share a servant's spirit. Thank God for those things today. And I pray that everyone that's come, our visitors, will understand that we're sincere. When we say, thank You for coming, we mean it. When we say, please come back, we want You to come back and visit with us again, we mean it. But most of all, when we say, come to Jesus Christ and trust Him as your personal Savior, we mean it. Because all the rest is nothing without that good gospel that the Philippian church practiced and that Anchor Church is doing its best to practice. Lord, have Your will and way in this invitation moment. If there's someone here lost, I pray that something in the service today spoke to their heart and they say, I want to get saved. I want to know Christ as my personal Savior. Maybe there's someone here with a need in their heart or some prayer request or something they just need to get with God about. Then, Lord, help them to come to this altar and get on their knees right here on this altar, this platform, where underneath the pulpit lies the Word of God. We put it under this pulpit so we can always say that our church is built on the Word of God. Please, Lord, have Your way in this invitation in Christ's name. Amen. Come on.